Hello, and welcome to That's Not Spit, It's Condensation.
Hello, and welcome to That's Not Spit, It's Condensation. I'm Ryan Beach, and today I'm here with Stephen Wadzak, who is the trumpet professor at Wright State University. Steve and I have been friends for a little over a year now, and Stephen agreed to test some of my preparation methods out on a recital that he did recently. And I wanted to get him on the podcast to talk about this preparation because I feel that I'm doing something in my own practice that is effective, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's effective for other people. So I'm grateful for the chance that Stephen gave my preparation methods, and I'm excited for you to hear what he has to say, because the spoiler alert is it was effective for him as well. And so before we dive in, Stephen, I just want to say thank you so much for giving me some of your time to dive into this. I'm glad we could finally do this.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm really excited to be talking about it. So,
yeah. So before we dive into the preparation, I think anchoring ourselves in how your preparation was before this will help us understand what the differences were and why certain things may have been more or less effective. So can you walk us through, and whatever detail you can you walk us through what you were doing for previous recitals, like whatever that would be, if you had some sort of approach or some sort of method, or just in general, what things look like for recitals that were previous to this one that you prepared for?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been teaching at the college level for about 5 years now. And then before that, I did a master's degree and a bachelor's degree. So I've probably done, I don't know, maybe somewhere around 10 recitals. And my preparation for those previous recitals looked a lot different than how I prepared for this one with you. I would say the most noticeable difference is in the past, I would have started preparing for a recital like way far in advance. Part of that is because a consideration for me is always feeling like I have enough endurance to get through a program. And I've always found the best way to accomplish that is to start training way far out. So I would maybe typically start choosing repertoire for a recital 5 to 6 months out, be in the stages of preparing the repertoire and working on trickier sections, maybe 3 to 4 months out. And usually I aim to be doing full run-throughs of my recital anywhere from 5 to 6 weeks in advance of the actual performance date, which is substantially different than what we did for this one. So,
in terms of how you went about doing the actual practice, did you have a method for when you were breaking down the music and when you were looking for problems to solve, or how you went about shaping, you know, the beginning of what something looks like, which is kind of rough and raw, and beginning to shape that into the musical presentation that you heard in your head? How did you go about making some of those decisions?
Sure. So typically I would start by identifying a few recordings I really liked, and I would spend some time with those for a while. And then usually I would just dive right in by playing through the piece and using that as an opportunity to try to identify areas that would be a little bit more technically challenging or more challenging from an endurance standpoint, spend a little bit of extra time focusing on those. And then essentially I would just, you know, choose sections that seemed like they needed the most work, and I would work on those on any given day. And so obviously in retrospect now, I can see how there were some inefficiencies in that way of approaching things. Like, yes, I was working on challenging sections, but it was very much kind of like winging it, you know, from day to day. Oh, this feels like it needs more work this week, so I'm going to work on that. And maybe not necessarily having like a holistic, like bigger picture view of my program at any given time.
And then can you share with us the effect of that? So whenever you did do the recital, did you feel prepared? Did you feel nervous? Did you feel that you always played up to your expectation? Do you feel like you sometimes didn't play? Can you give us just a little bit of a look into the result or the effect of the way you were preparing in the context of the actual recital?
Sure. So my first recital was pretty early. I did a joint recital with a colleague of mine in undergrad my sophomore year. And I distinctly remember that recital not going well. I remember talking to my professor about it afterward, and he essentially said, yeah, I let you do some things in a less efficient way because I knew that you would learn a lot from that process and learn from that feeling of being a little bit overwhelmed on stage. And things definitely got better from there. I remember feeling pretty good about my senior recital as a music ed major. But going back and listening to that with more advanced ears now and with a more critical ear, I can definitely ascertain that the degree of preparation and the degree of accuracy in particular that I would want to hear from a public recital performance was not there. And then moving into graduate school from there, it was certainly better. And there was continuous improvement, but I always felt like I struggled to get that last 5 to 10%, that 5 to 10% that moves a recital from being a pretty good recital to being like a really great live performance.
Yeah. This is going to be a little bit of an out there question, but do you feel like you decided anything about yourself as a recitalist or as a trumpet player from these types of experiences? Does that question make sense, or do you want me to elaborate?
Could you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah. So sometimes when we have experiences in our life that go a certain way, we begin to associate, well, this is like how I am or how things go for me. And so I could think, like, if I had decent experiences as a recitalist or as an auditioner or something like that, I might begin to tell myself, well, I enjoy doing this and I know this is how I improve, but I've also made sort of a decision in my mind that maybe I'm never going to get as, you know, like to this. I mean, okay, I'll just put it in my own context. I remember when I was a senior in college, it was a similar thing. I was playing well. I was playing solos and recitals and stuff like that. Not a ton of them, but when I did it, I always felt like I was like 95%, 92% where I wanted to be. And I would look at other people who were recitalists, right, who did this all the time. And I just thought, I have no idea how I'm going to get to that place where they're playing recitals the whole way through at a high level with beautiful musicality. And I felt like I just wouldn't have access to that. I now know that the way I have access to that, or the way I will get that, is to improve the way with which I do my work. It's not an innate thing. It's the way that I do my work. I'm just curious if you ever put a label on yourself in that way, or if you just are the kind of person that's like, if I just keep working at it, I will get better eventually.
I think I did. As you framed it that way, it sort of made me think back to that period in my education too. I remember right before I graduated undergrad, there were a couple of solo competitions I did where I felt really good about my performance. And one thing I haven't talked about much yet is musicality, but I also felt like those performances were pretty musical. And I came up in runner-up. I came up as runner-up in both. And then another solo competition I did at CCM in grad school where I came in runner-up again. And it sort of started to make me think like, well, am I ever going to get there? Like, am I ever going to win one? Not that that's necessarily what the goal is. And I distinctly remember at that time thinking, well, what's holding me back is I'm just not technically accurate enough as a player. I thought I had good musical ideas, good expression, but there were just like a few too many clams or a few too many missed high notes or whatever, you know. And yeah, that definitely started to bleed over, I think, into how I saw myself as a player.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the, just wanted to sort of establish a baseline. So when we talk about the preparation in just a second, we have sort of a something to compare it against, I guess would be the easiest thing. Because when you start to, in my opinion, when you start to shift the way you're working, for you to know if it's a better or a worse, process, you need to have something to compare it against. And then even then, now after you've done this preparation process and you may want to make tweaks moving forward, now you have this preparation process to compare it against to know, well, I moved in the right direction or it wasn't quite as effective or whatever. So I think it's important to establish that baseline. With this style of preparation, we did 3 2-week blocks. Each block had a different focus and each block had a different sort of organization or programmatic element to it. The first 2 weeks were where we extracted from the entire recital We extracted just the things that you felt were either the most technically challenging or things that were unfamiliar to you. And we only worked on those for the first 2 weeks. This is 6 weeks out of the... So you had said you were doing runs 5 to 6 weeks and before. Now we're starting the preparation process 6 weeks in advance in total. So that's one of the first differences that jumps out to me. Can you just... hopefully you have your journal that you had written in and you can kind of walk us through, but can you just walk us through what this was like right at the beginning to start preparation where you would normally be running things? And what was it like to only be doing the technical things? Did you feel anxiety that you should have been doing more? I'm just curious for some of your thoughts about what it was like to embrace right at the beginning this different style of preparation.
Sure. Yeah. So I would say the first thing, first and foremost, it required a really high degree of trust because, as you already pointed out, you know, compared to how I would have previously prepared for a recital, I was starting way, way, way late. So there were definitely some anxious thoughts, some doubts in my mind about, am I really going to be ready? Am I going to be able to pull this off and have a successful performance? But as I started to get into the process, even just 2 or 3 days into that first program, I started to notice a marked difference in terms of how much more I was getting accomplished in that 2 to 3 day span. And so then that in turn gave me confidence. And that small success there at the beginning helped me to see, okay, well, this is working. So I just have to trust that if I keep doing what's working, that I'm going to get to where I need to be.
Can you talk a little bit about using the program, like how you used it? You know, like I'll give a little bit of a hint. It's, you know, recording the first repetition, listening back, fixing some things, recording the next. Can you just talk a little bit about that, using the program as a tool for understanding how much to record, and then what things you did in between repetitions? How did you go about fixing problems that you found? I forgot to mention this, that the focus of the first 2 weeks is finding problems and solving them in these most technical things. So we're not worried about trying to be able to perform anything. We're not worried about, can we put it all together? We're just worried about in these most technical things, how many problems can you find and how many of those problems can you solve? Can you walk us through a little bit about just how you learned to use the program and how it changed over the course of the 2 weeks? I'm sure the end of the 2 weeks, you were a little bit more adept than the beginning of the process at using this program to practice deliberately.
Sure. Yeah, that makes total sense. So two things that were critical, I think, were reduced tempo, like even slower than I would have normally thought to go. I think it's customary for a lot of people to maybe try something the first time at 80% tempo or 75% tempo, but taking all of these more technical licks from pieces all the way down to, you know, I think it was 62% tempo we did in that first program. So that gave my mind time to think and really analyze as I was playing, okay, this is a challenge here, or I need to think more about this when I play this interval or whatever. And then the recording process also was key because I've always recorded my practice. That's something that my teachers have always instilled in me to do. But the way in which I was implementing that previously was a lot different. I think one thing I've realized from the program is that before, I was recording way too much and not listening back frequently enough. So I may in the past have recorded like an entire etude, and then that takes 3 or 4 minutes. And then going back and listening to that, which takes another 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm not saying that that can't be beneficial as well, because I think it can be. But in terms of how I was implementing it into the program, I was recording each phrase, and a phrase would maybe only be 25 to 30 seconds. So you play that phrase for 30 seconds, there's immediately some rest built in while you listen back to that recording, and you almost get the benefit of having played it twice, because when you listen back, you're hearing all the things that you maybe didn't do as well as you would have liked, or you maybe even notice something that you didn't observe when you were playing through it, because you were using too much processing power to think about something else. So that was really helpful. And I will say, you know, one thing I had to plan around was practicing everything at much slower tempos, leaving time to listen back to my recordings, and then also maybe doing 1 or 2 practice runs in between repetitions. it took a little bit more time at first. You know, starting at the beginning of that first program, it would maybe take me two and a half hours to get through all of the stuff I needed to play through that day. But by the end of that first program, I was getting through everything in an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half, which is really reasonable even for someone with a busy schedule.
So when you say 2 to 2.5 hours, that was just the program, or that's the program, the other types of fundamentals you might be playing, and any other types of playing? It's in total, that's the amount you were doing.
Correct. Yeah, in total.
So how do you have a record of how, I mean, I think I asked you this, but I don't remember how long the first couple of days took in just the program?
In just the program, I think the first couple of days were somewhere between an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Mm. But by the end of that program, it was down to closer to an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. And one thing about that that I want to speak to is I tried to make it as efficient as I possibly could. You know, it was 3 repetitions per day, every other day for a section, right? And so it's hard to get away from the fact that to be able to play at a high level at certain points in time, you're just going to have to put in a pretty good amount of work. And I think most people know that, but when it's structured like that, it somehow feels different than just I practiced for an hour and 45 minutes. Maybe it's because you're focused the entire time instead of your mind being able to wander, or you're for sure practicing deliberately, which can be very mentally taxing. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's just part of the process is getting in those quality reps and showing up for that at some point in time. And there are ways to reduce it, you know, but you would also have to make it up somewhere else. So if you didn't want to practice for that long in the beginning, you could probably write maybe a 3-week program in the beginning and stretch that out and have less time per day. But at a certain point in time, I think you just have to put in the time to be able to get the result that you got, which we'll get to in a second. The final thing I want to ask you about this process is, let's just say hypothetically you ran into a problem. There's a lick that you missed more notes than you wanted to, or just any notes that you wanted to fix. Did you have sort of an order of operations of ways that you went about fixing this, or was it random? Like when you were trying to find solutions, how did you go about finding solutions? Like, for example, some people might slur a whole phrase or buzz the entire phrase or sing the entire phrase, or some people might get it down to those 2 or 3 notes and really like isolate that particular thing and then put it back into context. Did you have a particular approach that you tended to use that worked for you, or was it completely context dependent and it's hard to say?
I think it's mostly context dependent. There were a few things that I used more than others. One of those was definitely just trying to sing through it first. That's something that I've always found really helpful. And if I found that something was really inaccurate, I would often go back to sing it and find, oh, I can't sing this on pitch. And there's probably a correlation there. But also, I know I already spoke about this, but the act of recording every repetition really helped me to determine in those more situational instances why a certain passage or a certain lick was giving me a hard time. And then I could identify like an appropriate way to work on that. Hmm.
So the end of this 2-week process, how are you feeling?
I was feeling really good. I mean, I knew that I still had a month to go, and I knew that I wasn't doing full run-throughs of any of my pieces yet or anything like that, but it felt achievable. It felt like it was going to happen and come together. And I was definitely a lot less nervous about, you know, going out in front of a group of people and bombing.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that was only 2 weeks from, I have a couple of doubts, or I have some stress about whether I'm going to be able to do this too. I have a lot of confidence. So this is one of the points I try to make, but it's easier to do in this context, which is a really good process can give you confidence, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to drum up fake confidence in your own playing. You can just have a process that prepares you in such a way that you can feel very confident. And that's what it sounds like, even at this stage, that you were feeling. Moving into the second phase, or the second program, this one is, now we had every single section of every single piece. So all the easy ones, all the sort of medium sections, and the hard sections. And the way I delineated that to you was, the easy sections are ones that you almost don't even have to practice at all. you would feel fine with. The hard sections are ones that you're still are still kind of technically difficult for you. You want to make sure you have your reps. And then the medium sections are ones that you're not really worried about, but you do know that you need to put in some repetitions in. And then we assigned different numbers of frequency. So the easy sections were played 2 times a week. The medium sections were 3 times a week. And the hard sections were 4 times a week. And each time you saw any section, it was 2 repetitions. And then basically the first repetition on any given section, what it was at the goal tempo, the tempo you wanted. So now we're orienting our work more towards performance. We want to get some runs and to feel it out at tempo. And then the second repetition would be slower, where you would be able to drive home any habits that still haven't been formed, and you could still do some isolation in between those. So for me, when I did this for the Gregson, this is a pretty transformational period of, I really saw a lot of progress in my ability to play musically and consistently. And I'm curious just for some of your initial thoughts about what this was like switching into this style of preparing, and as opposed to how you had done it previously, but even as opposed to the previous 2-week block, what was this like for you?
Sure. So I would definitely agree with your statement that this is where I started to see some transformation taking place. And the most noticeable thing is after only 2 weeks of working on repertoire, I don't think that in the past I would have normally felt as able to focus on musicality or thinking musically. I still had to be very much thinking about technique and how I was going to be producing a passage on the instrument. But working through the program, even that first week of the second program, like week 3 overall, I felt like I was able to start making some music. And that's not to say that there weren't still some mistakes. You know, usually that first run that would be at tempo would not be perfect, but then that would identify where I needed to then focus or approach that passage differently when I went back to a slower tempo. So it was like a litmus test. And then I had a few more repetitions after that to sort of fine tune it.
So it's still very deliberate practice. Like you're not necessarily, the focus is not on performing. The focus is on doing something in a performance context to get feedback on what still needs to be fixed. And the goal of this 2-week process, so the previous one was finding problems and solving them. The focus of this one was, we want to begin to try to recall on the performance tempos all of the solutions that we already know. Because in the context of a performance, your ability to play at a high level is just, can I recall the solutions that I found? And so that's what we were after in this, is to begin to test your ability to recall. Because once you can recall it, it's in you. And so that was the main sort of crux of why it was organized the way that it was organized. I want you to, if you don't mind, speak to any sort of emotional like state at this point, because we're getting closer to the actual performance, right? And there may have still been some things that weren't kind of dialed in or dialing in the way you wanted to. So can you speak at all to, you know, your emotional state one way or the other during this part of the process? Were you confident? Was there any doubts at this point, or were you just chugging along with the process? Kind of where were you?
I think by this point, and I even went back and read some of my text thread with you about like some of the things that we talked about at this point. I was definitely very confident. I was seeing that the work I was putting in was producing results at a much faster rate than what I've typically done for recital preparation. And so that gave me a lot of confidence. Plus, even though I hadn't been doing full run-throughs yet, I had by this point accumulated so many repetitions that I just felt really good about everything. And when I did make a mistake, I felt less as if, oh, I don't really know how to fix this right away. It was much easier for me to determine a solution or a strategy to improve it in a shorter period of time, like usually right there during the practice session. Whereas sometimes I think we've all experienced that feeling of, you know, you're messing something up in the practice room, and in that moment, you can't necessarily figure out what you're doing wrong. You get frustrated, you know, you end up leaving that practice session and, oh, I'll come back to it later or whatever. I didn't really have that type of experience with this, because it was all just there and laid out for me. And all of that work I had done in the first program had informed my strategies for how I was going to keep improving things.
Hmm. I'd love you to speak to another part that we talked about in our text threads and things back and forth, which was there were some things that you described that weren't necessarily tracking along with everything. Like you were doing well and you felt like you were getting better, but you could start to see that there were certain things that maybe were fundamental issues that you needed to spend some time working out. And I know that's one of your main takeaways that you told me about, was that the program sort of revealed to you where you're gonna, where you need to spend your time after the recital, like, and fundamentally to fix those types of things. Can you talk a little bit about that, what that was like to encounter those types of things in the context of the program at this stage and say, like, okay, and like, just basically, how do you manage that? How do you manage, like, there are certain things that are getting a lot better and you're playing it the way you want, and there's certain things that seem like you're struggling with them, you know, more than you want to, I guess, right? But you can also identify that maybe that's a fundamental issue and maybe that's not going to get better right this second. Or maybe that's not going to get as good as I want it to be in this recital because I need to work on it. Like, how do you manage that mentally? Like, how are you handling that?
Sure. Yeah. So to make it really personal and just give a specific example, one thing I distinctly remember being frustrated with at first was my piccolo playing. And in the past, I have felt like I'm a pretty consistent, decent piccolo player. But that was not happening for me the way I wanted it to. I felt like I was having to exert a lot more effort and energy on my pick piece, and things were just not coming together. I was having pitch issues and just felt like I was struggling to get the articulation I wanted on that instrument compared to my bigger horns. I think I even sent you some playing videos and just asked, like, hey, would you listen to this and maybe see if there's anything you're noticing? So initial thought process when that happens, it's hard to not go like, oh no, the world is ending. Like, this one thing is just terrible. What am I going to do? I think, again, the structure of the program gave me stability and gave me confidence in that moment, because even though that one aspect of my recital was not coming together yet the way I wanted it to, pretty much everything else was. Or, you know, I could think of it in that perspective, at least. Like, this one thing I'm maybe not happy with right now, and there's room for improvement here, but everything else is going really well. And I just need to trust that if I keep going through this process, if I keep trusting this process, that my piccolo playing is going to keep improving too, just like everything else has. And the reality is that it did. You know, by the time I got to my recital, that piece went really well. And it was even a piece that a few people came up to me afterward and said, like, that was my favorite thing on your program. But
that's a strange feeling, isn't it? Like,
it is
a really strange feeling. The thing you felt like you struggled with, someone then telling you that that was their favorite thing. It's like, I feel like that's a mind warp for me to, like, I start to rethink, like, what is actually important, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that's not to say that I don't still want to do some work on that now, because I definitely do, as I start to rethink, like, what fundamental aspects of my playing do I want to target now? But the too long didn't read version of what I just said, I think the program helped to expose areas of my playing or areas in my technique that I now am really excited to, like, dig into and make better. And frankly, that was an added bonus of going through the program to prepare a recital that I wasn't necessarily expecting.
Yeah. So at the end of this 2-week process, now it's a month in, you got 2 weeks left to your recital. How are you feeling?
I felt really good. I felt really eager to start doing run-throughs. I think the one doubt I had in my mind at this point is the endurance factor, because I had played one or two recitals in the past where everything went really good into, like, the 40th or 45th minute. And then, like, on that last piece in the program, I would start to have some endurance issues and, you know, sometimes would squeak through, sometimes would maybe not squeak through so much. And so I still had a little bit of doubt, or there was a little bit of unknown in my mind pertaining to that specifically. But I was also playing a lot. You know, I was getting through the program every day. Then I was also playing quite a bit in lessons. I'm a teacher who models a lot, and some of my students are younger too, so I model for them more. And then this is something I haven't mentioned up till this point yet either, but I was also still gigging through all of this. And in the past, when preparing a recital, I would basically turn down, like, any gigs I got called to do because I was so worried about making sure I had enough time to prepare. But I didn't feel that way working on the program because everything was so organized and well laid out that I felt like I did have capacity to still do some work on the side. Not to rabbit trail off there to the side, but I think it's relevant to what we're talking about.
So. No, I think that's a huge part for someone like me who has become busier over the years, having the ability to have this program where I can sit down and I could just focus all of my efforts on that, you know, for a period of time. And then when I'm done, I can let go of that and go do the next thing, sort of be present for the next thing. It's hugely helpful to be able to reach for sort of big goals in the context of being very busy. You know, when you're a student, like everything is revolving around, this is the only, really, there's many different classes and things like that, but you can orient your life towards, this is what I want to do, so to speak. I want to just do this one thing in my recital and I can put all my efforts toward that. But yeah, when you have a family and a job that requires you to drive an hour and you have students to do and then, you know, honor bands to adjudicate or whatever that particular festival was. So I think it's just super important that yeah, it allows you to still live a life but reach for these goals and just not have to accept, well, I'm too busy to be able to really do this. Obviously, the other really big implication is something like an audition. You can take an audition in a busy season of your life and still prepare well. The last phase, the last 2 weeks is where everything shifts. There's no more programs. There's no more metronome. There's no more, like, really no more almost detail work. It's like you've done the detail work, or ideally you've used the previous two programs to do tons of detail work. Now you're just going to run the program and start to get used to what it feels like to remember all of those solutions, right? It's all about recall. We're trying to recall the solutions, but in the context of the piece and the recital itself. So walk us through what this was like for you. Even if you want to kind of talk about how many you did per day, or, you know, almost like the timeline of run-throughs, if there's any sort of hitches you ran into, also what days you took off, how you were feeling. Like, you know, does this make sense? Just kind of walk us through as much of this process as you can, because I think this is a really cool part of the process where you really go from, like, I'm still unsure to, like, okay, I got this.
Yeah. This was a really fun part of the preparation because essentially I was done worried about, can I play this? Can I not play this? And it was just, I'm going to go through this recital program. I'm going to make as much music as I can. And I'm just going to have fun. During this time, as Ryan alluded to, I ran a 3-day honor band festival at Wright State with some of my colleagues. And then I also adjudicated like a jazz event that was an all-day thing. And even with all that other stuff going on, it was really not much of a challenge to find the time or the motivation for that matter to just get that work done and get that run through in. I would say most days I did one run through. There were some days where I did two just to add a little bit more of a challenge from that endurance perspective and see if I could get through that program twice and still feel good. And when I did do that, I would usually do one of those run throughs earlier in the day, like before noon, and then do the second run through later in the day, either before dinner or after dinner, something like that. And I was still doing, you know, my daily fundamentals routine and warming up, plus sometimes practicing a little bit for a gig or something like that that I knew I had coming up. So doing a substantial amount of playing, but feeling good. And all those moments in my program that maybe in the past would have made me sweat a little bit, really felt great. And they were very consistently there, which helped me really shift my thinking to more about making music and being less worried about technical aspects of trumpet playing. I would even argue that my primary goal shifted less towards playing the trumpet and more just towards focus in general. What was interesting is when I did make mistakes, which were much less frequent than in the past, those mistakes would often be like pretty simple things. Like I would just chip the first note of a phrase, or that lick I had not practiced that much that was on my easy list, I would just like flub something and I would realize, oh, I'm drifting right now. My mind is not focused on the task at hand. And that was really more the culprit of mistakes at that point than it was any lack of proficiency or ability on the instrument. which that was an interesting thing to experience, because that got me thinking on a whole nother train of thought about what is focus, what is peak focus in a performance setting look like. And there are some things I'm excited to experiment with related to that, just in my career as a freelancer and as an orchestral performer and some of those other things that I do. So,
yeah, it's a similar thing for me now. Like, it's kind of a cool place to be where, like, the majority of the mistakes that I make are because I may not be focused. And I think this is probably true across the board. But it's also like a really, like, the onus being on you that, like, you can play beautifully. You just need to remain focused is also like a big responsibility, right? Like, it's so much like, okay, I can actually affect the course of, like, the quality of what's going on here. I actually just have to remain maximally focused. And our world right now is not set up for people to develop and hone deep levels of focus. And so I think that's something that's a culprit for a lot of people without realizing it, because we just sort of I don't think we necessarily as a musical field across the board understand the importance of focus. Like, I know we need to focus, but, like, what does it do for your brain and all that? Anyway, so you ran all of these recitals and you're getting ready, and then just take us to the day of the recital. What did you do? What kinds of things did you do to prep? How much did you warm up? Were you purposeful about what you ate, how much you slept the night before? Kind of take us there and then tell us the result of everything and how you felt in the actual recital.
Yeah, sure. So the couple days leading up to the recital, one thing I did do was I shifted my off day. I had been using Mondays as my "I'm not going to play the trumpet today" days. And I shifted that to the Saturday before because I was adjudicating a day-long festival that day. So that just made sense. And then I played again on Sunday. I played again on Monday. And my recital was in the evening on a Tuesday. And the venue was about an hour and a half drive away. So one thing I've learned about just myself and my body is I really need to work hard to stay hydrated. So sometimes in the past, leading up to a recital, I would completely cut out, like, any alcohol. I would try to eat less salty foods and stuff. And friends of mine who know me well, they know I like beer, you know? So cutting that out is sometimes a little bit of a sacrifice. I actually did not do that this time. I would occasionally have a beer or something like that in the evenings, but I was just a little bit more mindful about how much. And I don't think I had any beer like the day or two before. I also tried to avoid, like, really salty foods, things like smoked meats or things like that, you know. But on Tuesday, I made sure I got a good night's rest the night before. This was during Wright State's spring break, so thankfully I didn't have to be up at school at 8 a.m. with a one-hour commute beforehand or anything like that. And I just took some time to get in a good headspace, you know, do a little bit of meditation and journaling. I made sure to get my warm-up in pretty early during the day. And then sometime mid-afternoon, I just played a little game that I learned from one of my teachers, Phil Collins, former trumpet player in the Cincinnati Symphony. He called it, like, the 10-second game, where I would just go to random spots in my repertoire and play 10 seconds worth and try to get myself into the character of the music as quickly as possible, which, on this topic of focus, I think that's, like, a really valuable strategy for trying to build focus. How quickly can you, like, get your head where it needs to be in terms of musical context and what you need to be doing? So I did that, but for no more than about 20 minutes. And then I put my stuff away, made sure that I had everything together, drove up to the gig, got set up, and the recital was at 7:30, and played the recital and felt really good about it. It went extremely well, and the audience received everything really well. I didn't have, like, any of the endurance challenges that I've experienced in the past, and I had a couple of trusted listeners there at the performance who've heard me play quite a bit over the past several years. And I felt, as well as all of them felt, that it's probably the best recital I've ever given, which was a really cool feeling. So,
yeah, you mentioned to me that you felt like you actually could just focus on the music, you know, like, your focus was right there. I'm curious, do you feel that is because you spent time in the previous, you know, the 2 weeks shifting your focus to that? Do you feel it was like everything was just working? Basically, what I'm asking is, do you think it was circumstantial that everything just happened to be working that day? Or do you feel like it's a result of the shifting of your focus? Like, what do you think allowed you to be able to just get into and focus mostly on the music and not be distracted by other things?
I think it comes down to two or three factors. The first one is I had more confidence in my technical ability, and that's a result of the way I went through the program. But by the time I got to that fifth week, I wasn't really struggling with technical aspects of my repertoire anymore. And so having that 2 weeks to just do run-throughs, focus on being as musical and expressive as possible, sort of trained me, sort of primed me for thinking that way in a performance. And even when I was in hotter water on stage, I just felt my mind gravitating more towards phrasing, more towards what was the musical idea I wanted to try to communicate with that certain passage. What's the peak of this phrase? How do I want to shape this? Like, all of my thoughts were based around that, as opposed to some of that typical chatter you experience in a performance sometimes of, oh, here comes the high C or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a common thing I used to experience. That was like, yeah, like Legend. I know you played Legend. It's like you start the first note and you're already thinking about the high C at the beginning of the next page, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very common thing to struggle with. At least for me, it was. Mm-hmm. So I would love, this is so cool for me to hear, you know, you and I obviously stayed in contact throughout the process, so I've gotten some of this, but it's really cool to hear it kind of in the context of a debriefing session. I'm curious if you are able to distill your thoughts into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many sort of takeaway points from this process, things that you learn, things you want to keep doing, maybe things you want to change, things you want to experiment with going forward. This is as much for me to hear from you, like the actual overall, like, this is what I thought about your process, as it is for anyone listening. So I will just leave it up to you, and just as many things as you want to share, I am all ears.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see if I can keep things cohesive and coherent here.
Yeah, just whatever you feel.
I think a major takeaway for me is that how I prepare, a lot of that has nothing to do with the actual instrument that I play, the trumpet. You know, so much of how I prepare has to do with organization. It has to do with how the human brain best learns and retains material. And I feel like going through the program in this way has really changed my views on what the most efficient type of practice looks like. It has certainly changed my views on how much time I need to give myself to prepare a recital or to put it in another context, you know, even how I would prepare for an orchestral audition at this point would be drastically different, just because I realize now I don't necessarily need to start so far out in order to get the results that I want to have. I just need to have a better, a more efficient, a more organized, whatever descriptor you want to put on it, process. So that's a huge takeaway for me. I think another big takeaway, which I might have mentioned previously, is I was already recording myself, but I think the way in which I was recording myself was just a little bit less helpful. For me, recording in this new way of just playing a really short section of music, even 25 to 30 seconds, and then just immediately listening back to it with really critical ears, sometimes with the music in front of me, sometimes just with my eyes closed, intently listening to my sound concept, that informed me so much in terms of what I needed to focus on my next repetition. And frankly, I haven't really consistently done that in my preparation up to this point in my career, at least not in that way. So that's definitely something I'm going to take with me. A third takeaway is, as you mentioned, I'm a teacher, right? I'm a college teacher. And I think the way that I approach teaching my students is going to be forever changed, not just in terms of when I'm preparing them for a recital or an audition or something, but even just in terms of, I think as a collegiate applied teacher, I, and maybe other professors out there too, who might see this or be listening, need to spend more time showing my students efficient ways of preparing and efficient ways of thinking about practice. I know sometimes when we get to the collegiate level, we want to jump straight to showing our students how to phrase something, or we want to talk about musicality and expressivity, and we should absolutely do those things. But thinking about my own current studio, I'm not sure that some of my students are ready to receive that information yet, because there's instruction and there's talking that needs to happen first about how to prepare, how to feel technically proficient, like we're able to play things so that we can then focus on those things and not getting the cart before the horse in that respect. So that's a big one for me too, that I'm really excited to play around with as I continue my career as a teacher. Yeah. How's that?
That's great. I'm all ears, man. If there's more, please share.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many thoughts. I'm really grateful for the experience, and I feel like I've taken away a lot from it. I am excited to, and we've been talking about this some already, I'm excited to see how I can apply the same concepts of the program, not just to preparing for a recital now, but to preparing any number of things. How can I apply it to my fundamentals practice? How can I apply it to a specific fundamental that I maybe want to spend an extended period of time improving or digging into? Of course, applying it to something like auditions, where it's still repertoire, but in a different context and maybe in a slightly different frame of mind. So I'm excited for that too. I think it's going to change how I approach practice a lot.
Well, I can say that it is exciting and humbling for me to hear your experience with this style of preparation. You know, I've experienced I've had interesting experiences with this as well. Like you and I talked about when I had finished up the Gregson, that it was just one of the most positive experiences I've ever had, you know, and I was able to, I feel, really work hard, but to redefine what it means to work hard. It wasn't hours in the practice room. It was like the way that my work looked, you know, as Barbara would say, the intelligence of my work shot through the roof. And so I would love for you, maybe even like a final thought, because I think we've covered everything beautifully. So I'm going to say thank you so much for being here. It was really awesome to do this debrief session with you. And I hope for anyone listening, this was just at least interesting to listen to hear somebody's experience with sort of revamping and shifting their preparation process. I'd love for you to speak. And sort of the final idea is what you talked to me about sort of doubling your efficiency. You know what I mean? From like, because that's such an interesting way to think about it. And I'd love for you just to, you know, and whatever time you want to take, talk a little bit about this, because it's like such a cool thing to think about, doubling your efficiency and increasing the effectiveness of your practice through this. Like, I love your actual words, not me paraphrasing it. And then we can be done, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. And before I say that, just, you know, thank you for the opportunity to go through the program and to sort of guide me through that process. I'm really grateful for it, because it has given me so much perspective, and I really do think it's going to pay dividends on how I approach the instrument for many years. Ryan and I were having a conversation on the phone, and one of the things that I said during that conversation, I was reflecting back on graduate school and thinking about how much time I was practicing. And for those who may be in grad school now, or who hope to be in grad school, or who were in grad school, a pretty common amount of practice to shoot for is, you know, somewhere between 3.5 to 4.5 hours per day. And I was pretty consistently hitting that mark, I would like to think, at least for most of grad school. And so in the context of the program, I was thinking about it and I said, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours of practice a day in graduate school. But when I was running the program for this recital, I was essentially playing the trumpet about half that much, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours of playing. But I feel like the amount of improvement that I saw in that lesser amount of practice was greater. And mathematically, another way to think about that is doubling my efficiency, still reaching the stated goal that I had at the beginning of the process, and reaching that stated goal in basically half the time. And you could even argue that it's more than doubled efficiency, right? Because I would think too that the final goal was probably a little bit better than what I was achieving as a grad student. So you could think of that as doubled efficiency.
One thing we didn't talk about that I would be remiss, actually, I know we said we were just going to be done, but I'd be remiss if we didn't cover how you studied in terms of the score or in terms of recordings, like how you got your musical ideas, like how you, you know, because your mental representation is everything for you to be able to guide your practice with a program like this. So I would, you know, if you don't mind sharing, this will be the last thing, but it's just so important because if we don't talk about it, someone's going to be like, well, you know, they're just going to say something like, what about this part?
Yeah,
which is super important. So how did, what role did study play? And then I would argue that this would be in that first two, most, the bulk of this would be in that first 2 week period when you're doing most of the technical things. You're also doing a lot of score study. You're also doing a decent amount of listening to begin to inform your ideas. But please, if you don't mind sharing what that looked like throughout this process for you and how you use score study and recordings to continue to refine your mental representation and what you were getting out of then the practice and the recordings you were making.
Yeah, totally. In fact, this is something I'm always happy to talk about because it's something I'm pretty passionate about in my own teaching and something that I feel like a lot of students struggle to grasp at first, myself included. And I can't take credit for any of this. You know, I got the way I think of listening and score study, I got from my teachers. But during that first stage of preparation, I was listening a lot. Like I would listen to the full recital program at least once a day, sometimes more. And when I say I'm listening to it, I don't just mean like I have it on in my car when I'm driving back and forth to work, although sometimes I would do that too. But when I'm talking about listening in this context, I mean I had the music on, no distractions present, no phone out, nothing like that. And whenever possible, I would have the full score in front of my face and I'd be following along, listening to the recording. And when I would listen to a recording, I would try to have at least one, no more than two or three specific aspects of the recording I would be listening to. How does the performer articulate this? How are they shaping dynamics? What tone color are they using here? Where did they breathe? You know, all these various things. And I think I wasted a lot of time listening to music. I shouldn't say wasted, but maybe not as efficient listening or as deep listening as I was capable of, because I just thought that listening meant, you know, passive listening, having the music on and playing it and listening to it. And that's very different than what I'm talking about, you know, really trying to be focused, which ties us back into that other conversation about, I think part of how we get better at focus is just putting ourselves in positions where we're required to focus to a high degree. And then we can slowly work on expanding that length of time to which we hold ourselves. Okay, I'm really going to try to stay in this deep state of focus for the next 5 minutes. Okay, tomorrow, let's see if I can do that for 8 minutes. Day after that, let's see if I can do that for 10 minutes, you know, whatever, just making up numbers off the top of my head. But I did a lot of that type of listening early in the process. As I went more and more through preparation, hang on a second. As I went more and more through that preparation, I would say the amount of time I spent doing deep listening decreased because I, by that point, had formulated pretty strong opinions about how I did want to play things. And I would still just check in with recordings now and then to make sure that I wasn't drifting too much from my concept or how I wanted to play things. And I also did do a little bit of playing along with recordings too, which I find helpful just in terms of checking pitch, you know, trying to match a specific tone color maybe. So I did some of that too.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's so important to do that. And the more you do it, the more that that kind of work is in your mental representation. It's informing how you're playing your trumpet. I'm not saying you don't have to do it, but that work is cumulative, right? Would you agree that work is cumulative? So the more that you do it, sort of the less you have to do it over time, because you begin to really develop strong opinions about, when I do this, this is the way I want to do it. And then recordings become less, I'm learning how to play, and more, I'm just seeing what else is out there because I respect great players playing, that kind of thing. Would you agree with that, or would you have anything to add to that?
I would completely agree to that.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Well, Stephen, this is now officially the end. I appreciate your willingness to be with me and to kind of stay with me during this discussion. I know it can get a little bit technical, but I hope that it was enjoyable for you to dig into this. I hope those that are listening found it at least interesting and kind of hang on to it. If anybody's interested in contacting you to tell you about how they felt about this episode or finding more information about something like Right State, how would somebody get in touch with you?
Sure. So great ways to reach me. You can always email me at my Right State email address, which is just firstname.lastname@right.edu. I'm also on social media. So, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. You can feel free to find me and reach out that way. And I'd love to chat with anybody who has questions about what my preparation looked like, or even if you just want to get in touch. Yeah, totally open.
Great. If you need to get in touch with me, you can do that at thatsnotspit.com, or probably a better place at this stage is my other website, ryanbeachtrumpet.com. And then you can find me, Ryan Beach Trumpet, on Instagram, That's Not Spit on Instagram. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can find it. I want to thank Brandon Yoakum for mastering this episode of the podcast and making it sound incredible. Most of all, I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.